Speak with you briefly this morning about Hakaras HaTov. As you know, Ray Schoenbrunn has been organizing a push, a drive towards recognizing Hakaras HaTov. I'm going to share a story with you. A story I may have shared in the past, but I think it's powerful as far as thinking about the meaning of Hakaras HaTov and perhaps why it's relevant for each of us. Certainly, Thanksgiving is not per se a Jewish holiday, but the notion of Hakaras HaTov is very much a Jewish attribute, as we are called Yehudim from the language of Hoda'ah, of thanks. The story is told of a father and a son lived in Siberia in the freezing cold. Father is about 75 years old, his son about 50 years old, and unfortunately they were not a family of great wealth. They only could afford one winter coat between the two. And they went back and forth as far as who should have that winter coat. The father believed that as the father, he needed the coat. Older people get cold more easily, it was freezing, he's not moving around so much, and so he argued that he needed the coat. The son felt that his father is really just sitting around at home, he could cover himself with a blanket, and so the son said, I'm outside, I'm trying to chop wood, I'm trying to make a living for us. And the son insisted that he should have the coat. When two Jews argue, they weren't sure how to resolve it, they went to their Rav. They knocked on their Rav's door. They posed their dilemma, their quandary to the Rav. They asked the Rav, what should we do? And the Rav said, it's an interesting question. You each seem to have a valid claim, a valid argument. Let me think about it a little bit overnight. Come back to me tomorrow, I'll have an answer for you. And that night, as the father and the son were trying to fall asleep, they couldn't. The father kept on saying to himself, what got into me? I'm a father, I love my son, I've done everything for my son his whole life. Why all of a sudden now am I becoming self-centered? When we wake up in the morning, when we go to the Rav, I'm going to tell the Rav that my son should have the coat. I give everything for my son. He's out. I'll just have a blanket. I'll keep myself warm that way. And the son, also unbeknownst to the father, started to think to himself, Kibud Av V'Em, my father does everything for me. The least I could do, Hakaras HaTov, Kibud Av V'Em, my father should have the coat. And when we go to the Rav in the morning, I'll tell him I had a change of heart. I changed my mind. Case closed, my father should have the coat. And they each woke up in the morning. Obviously, they didn't yet tell each other about that change of heart. They walk together to the Rav's house. They knock on the Rav's door. The Rav welcomes them in. And they each present their change of mind, their change of heart to the Rav. Now the Rav still has a problem, but the problem the opposite way. They're each insisting the other one should have the coat. The Rav says, wait here 1 minute. He goes into his closet. He takes out a nice coat and he gives it to them and he says, problem solved, now you each have a coat. The father and the son obviously were appreciative, thank you so much, but they turned to the Rav and they said, you know, you had this coat yesterday, what did you have to think about? If you're just going to give us the coat, you could have given to us yesterday. Why make us go through this overnight? And the Rav said to them, you know, yesterday there was a certain feeling among all of us. There was a I need it kind of feeling, I deserve it feeling. The father said, I need the coat. The son said, I need the coat. The Rav said, I also need the coat. But today, there's a different feeling in the room. Everyone's saying the other person should have the coat. I also wanted to get in on that, so I want to give my coat also, as long as everyone's in this mood of giving towards one another. And what I think this story illustrates and starts to have us think about is this notion of Hakaras HaTov, the notion of gratitude, as with all midos, has a reciprocity to it. In other words, it helps create a certain culture by which we all benefit from. So the same way, when the father was mindful and thoughtful to his son, the son started to be mindful and thoughtful to the father, it influenced someone else because it creates a certain feeling. So at its core, Hakaras HaTov, being appreciative, being thankful, starts to influence those around us. When you find someone who's appreciative, someone who's generous, someone who's kind, you tend to want to act that way. And it gets magnified exponentially because there's so much we read about in the Parshios throughout Bereishit in the beginning of Shmos. But give you one example of the magnification of how we again magnify this notion of Hakaras HaTov. Lot. Lot is not necessarily such a tzaddik. And yet Lot is saved. Not once, but twice by Avraham Avinu. Lot, what was Lot's incredible zchus? That his life is saved by Avram twice. What's his chus? His chus is we have Hakaras HaTov to him for his loyalty to Avraham. When Avram is traveling to Eretz Canaan, it was a lonely feeling. And Lot was willing to accompany him. Lot goes along with him. when Avram and Sarah go to Mitzrayim, and Avram says, she's my sister, Lot knew the truth. And Lot didn't tell Paro, no, really, they're husband and wife. Lot said, yes, it's true, brother and sister. These small actions, we wouldn't describe them as making Lot a tzaddik, but those small actions earned Lot the Hakaras HaTov from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from Avram, that he saved not once but twice. So we see, again, a notion of Hakaras HaTov influences those around us. They ultimately boomerangs back to us, but it comes back around to us actually with greater zechus than what we ourselves did. The investment increases greatly. There's one more point to add, and this is hopefully what we each really are able to reflect on. And that is throughout, again, Sefer Bereishis and early into Shmos, we see many examples of what I would describe as somewhat odd Hakaras HaTov. And I'll give you two small examples. One example is Reuven. We know Reuven tries to save Yosef. Why is it that Reuven tries to save Yosef? So we often are told Reuven's the Bechor. It was his day to be with his father. His father trusted him to be the leader of the family. And that's why Reuven tried to save Yosef. But the Medrash says something unbelievable. The Medrash says that Reuven saved Yosef out of Hakaras HaTov. What possible Hakaras HaTov did Reuven have to Yosef? So listen to what the Medrash says. Reuven made a mistake. Reuven made a mistake when Rachel passed away. So Yaakov's bed was primarily situated in Rachel's tent. And Reuven moved the bed into Leah's tent. And that was disrespectful, that was inappropriate, that wasn't Reuven's place to do. And Reuven's chastised for this, he's rebuked for it. To the extent that Reuven may be put in Cherem. He may be kicked out of, so to speak, the Shvatim. Reuven is worried. What's my place in Klal Yisrael? How does Hashem view me now that I did this terrible Avera? Yosef, shortly thereafter, Yosef has two dreams. And his dreams are somewhat antagonistic. They bother the brothers. But Reuven has Hakaras HaTov. Why does Reuven have Hakaras HaTov? Because in that dream, Yosef includes Reuven as one of the Shvatim. And in that dream, which angers all of the brothers, and in that dream where Yosef is not being particularly kind to his brothers, nevertheless, he is inclusive of Reuven, and that gives Reuven nechama, that Reuven says, my place in Klal Yisrael is still intact, my place in Shevet is still intact. Reuven says, for this, I have Hakaras HaTov to Yosef. Again, it was not intentional from Yosef. Yosef didn't even know he was doing anything kind to Reuven. But Reuven said, a kindness was done to me, I have to be Makir Tov. We know Moshe does this in certain of the Makos, that he doesn't do Makos because Hakaras HaTov to inanimate objects. However, again, the Medrash tells us that when Moshe goes to Midian and he helps the daughters of Yisro, and the daughters of Yisro go back and they tell their father what happened, how do they describe Moshe Rabbeinu? They say, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. A Mitzri man saved us. We were saved by an Egyptian. Of course, they're referring to Moshe. Moshe's an Egyptian. Why is Moshe described as an Egyptian? So again, there are various reasons. Perhaps Moshe looked like an Egyptian. But the Medrash says, why is it described as Ish Mitzri Hatzileni? Because what caused Moshe to run away to Midian? The fact that he killed an Egyptian, and now Paro wanted to kill Moshe. That Egyptian whom he killed drove and motivated Moshe to have to run away. And so now when Moshe saves the daughters of Yisro, he says, it wasn't me. What really caused you to be saved? The Hakaras HaTov goes to this Egyptian who forced me to run away. Again, it's odd, it's peculiar. Why is Moshe giving credit to the Mitzri who he had to kill? And the answer is because he gives credit where credit is due. Hakaras HaTov sometimes doesn't have to seem like the person who did something to me did it intentionally. They don't have to be a tzaddik. Why then? Why then are we obligated to give Hakaras HaTov if the person didn't even mean to do something nice to us? And the answer again is very simple. And it's very simple in that Hakaras HaTov is not repaying someone for that which they did to us. When we express Hakaras HaTov, it's not to repay you for your generosity. We express Hakaras HaTov because we need to be people. We need to be Yehudim. We need to be people who are able to see the good in everything and everyone. And therefore, if somebody intentionally or unintentionally did something good to me, I express Hakaras HaTov because I need to be the kind of person who sees the good and appreciates the good. And so that's the challenge in the program that Ari Schoenbrunn has been trying to run. And really the challenge, I think, for each of us to think about. If we want to live a life of good, want to live a life of happiness, we want to live a life surrounded by goodness, it's all there for us to see. And it's up to us to open our eyes. It's up to us to be sensitive. It's up to us to be cognizant of seeing the good around me, seeing the good that is done to me, and seeing the good in everyone. If I'm able to do that, to go back to the beginning of this story, the benefits that I will receive is simply living in a world of good. We all live in the same world. But if I'm a makir tov, I will sense, I will see the good, I'll be aware of the good, and I will express that karsa tov for all the goodness that I come across. Everyone should have a meaningful day.